Welcome to the Beamsville Church of Christ online ministry. This week's message is titled Comfort and Challenges. Thank you to Rhonda, Glynis, Jim, and Don for being part of the video. The scripture reading is 2 Corinthians 1, 3-5. Happy birthday this week to Selena, and happy anniversary to Glynis and John, and to Dorothy and Len.
Morning. Our reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians 1, 3-5. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of our compassion and the Lord God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ.
Morning, everyone. Thank you very much for being with us. I'm going to emphasize a word in the book of 2 Corinthians because it's used so often also in 1 Corinthians, and that's the word comfort. No matter how old we are, we need comfort. Some of us remember when our children were young as babies, and sometimes they just couldn't settle. You try everything from holding them, loving them, and so forth. And then finally, when you're just exasperated, then you hear this wonderful baby go, sleep comes. And that's comfort. In many ways, in our life today, we need comfort. Financial difficulties, relationship difficulties, all kinds of different difficulties, and we need encouragement. We need a relax. I love the book of 2 Corinthians because Paul wants us and emphasizes it over and over and over again, the word comfort. But he also says to be faithful, to be fruitful, to be encouraging in spite of the difficulties that we have. And we do have challenges and difficulties. We think of Pam, a wonderful, amazing woman. And if you're like me, you go to somehow give comfort to Pam. And when you leave, you know who's comforted. We are. She wants to know about everybody. She wants to know about your life. She wants to know about all these wonderful things that we share. Comfort is really important in all aspects of our life. So I'm just going to go through the book of 2 Corinthians, and you can travel with me if you want. You don't have to, because I'm going to be moving along rather quickly. But in 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing this, talking about comfort. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion. God has compassion on us. Aren't we grateful for that? The God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles. And so when we have troubles and we have difficulties and we don't know what to do, it's always to remind ourselves that God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I'm always with you. And whether you feel it or not, I am sending you God's, my comfort. It's beautiful. So the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others in their difficulties. And then he says, if we are distressed, it's only because we're working so hard to bring comfort to you. And our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, you also share in the comfort. We have challenge. We have sufferings in our life. But there is comfort that comes to us from God. And so in this book of 2 Corinthians, he's moving along rather quickly, and I am too. by reminding us all of these promises of God. And if it seems a little bit out of sorts on occasion, it's because I'm just going through it rather quickly. He says, but as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. It's always yes, but in him, it's always been yes. He has appointed us and set his seal of ownership both on us and you, and the Holy Spirit is in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. We don't have to worry about what will come. And even when death comes, when it does come, we don't have to worry. We'll open our eyes and look at the face of God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and our loved ones who have passed. It's written on our hearts for everyone to show that we are living with God with confidence through Christ. And we are competent that what he says is true. So this book of 2 Corinthians is very optimistic. He also talks about a word that we don't use very often, and that's the word glory. The glory that the Israelites could not steadily look at the face of Moses because of his glory, transitory though it was. Will not the ministry of the Spirit even be more glorious? And if that ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? And there's an exclamation point there. How glorious this is. It's like watching your children on Christmas morning and they open up the package and it's like, wow, oh, this is so great. And it is great for us, even today, no matter what challenges we have. It's the glory of God helping us in the ministry that can bring righteousness to all people who wish to have it. And I don't know about you, but I wish to have it. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. All those things that just consume us. No, there's freedom that he gives us. The Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, listen now, we are being transformed into God's image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the, what? Holy Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's precious reading what God gives us because he loves us. And so in verse 6 of chapter 4, it says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge, here comes, God's glory is displayed in the face of Christ, meaning Jesus knows that we have glory. I think he just wants us to realize it. And that this glory that we will receive, we are also receiving right now. It's guaranteed for us. But we have this treasure of jars of clay, our body, to show that the all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. But someone says, but Don, you don't get the challenges that I have. Maybe not. But here's what it said. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus, which is really amazing, may also be revealed in our body. And I think that something that's being said here is, no matter what's happening, good or bad, God is with us. He hasn't abandoned us. He'll never forsake us. And then he says in verse 13, it is written, I believed, and so now I speak. And that's true. When we stand up, usually in front of the congregation, and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In fact, in many people who are baptized, that's what is said beforehand. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I remember several years ago baptizing someone, and I asked that question, silly question. She's here to be baptized, and I'm asking the question, do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you want to be baptized into Jesus Christ? And there was laughter and joy and giddiness, and as I was going to baptize her, she says, if I'm going under, you're going under too. And way, way down under the water and came back up. She was so excited, she didn't know what to do. It was just the joy of this relationship with God himself. The same God that says in Genesis 1, in the beginning. And it continues on even to this day. I don't know if this is making much sense to you, but to me, I just can't get over the beauty and the glory of God that he just gives to us, no matter where we're at. So he says, even though we have trouble, though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. All of the challenges, even the good things that happen, we can't grasp how beautiful this is. And then he says, for we know that if this body that we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God. Isn't that wonderful? We have a building with God. It's not built by human hands. And we're longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. I can't tell you how often I've been beside someone's bed, knowing that they're going to pass, and the comment that has made numerous times over and over again, I'm ready to go. I want to go. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to see the face of God. I'm ready to see Jesus. I'm ready to see God's Holy Spirit. I'm ready to see angels. And for many, I'm ready to see my mom and dad again, or my brother or my sister. All of these are promises that God gives us. Yes, we have difficulties. Yes, we have challenges. But God has given us a new suit, a heavenly dwelling where we belong. One day, all things will come together as one. So that's why we say, Paul says, we live by faith, not by sight. Sometimes we cannot figure things out, but we believe that we have faith in God and his promise, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And because of that, he says, for Christ's love compels us, and we are convinced that one died, meaning Jesus. And because of that, we too live. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again, and we shall too. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, that person is a new creation. The old is gone. The new is here. It is a reconciliation with God. And then Paul kind of stops from the glory part and then comes back in and talks about hardships. Even with people who are extremely faithful. Hardships. The Apostle Paul talks about this. Here's what he says in chapter 6. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, we'll put up with that, in troubles, we'll put up with that, hardships and distresses, we'll put up with that. Luckily, I don't think any of us have had to deal with this. In beatings, imprisonments, in riots, in hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience and kindness in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God with the weapons of righteousness in the right hand and left through the glory, regarded as unknown, dying, and yet we live, beaten, and yet not killed. Oh, boy. And distress and everything else, we'll put up with it. We will put up with it. So we open up our hearts because of the glory of God. And so to this church, he says, everything that I've just said, they hear this and they stop. And they say, yeah, I think we need to live up to this. I think we need to live up to God's glory. There is rejoicing over someone who repents. And it's not necessarily that someone has to come before the church and confess, but we confess to God. You know that there are days at the end of the day when it's difficult to sleep because we messed up. But it's also encouraging to know God was with us when we messed up. And he'll encourage us. He'll bring about situations. He'll bring about people. He'll bring all kinds of things to help us to get back on track. It's not always easy, but it's beautiful in God's eyes. So, because of the service that Paul has, he says to these people that God should be praised for the obedience that accompanies our confession of Jesus Christ, always reminding ourselves of this. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and make every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And then he says this, I love this scripture. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Jesus Christ. WWJD, what would Jesus do? We know a lot of what Jesus would do because of the scripture. And we have our challenges. What would Jesus do with that? And when we have wrestling, what would Jesus do with all of that? And we remember him. He offers us divine intercession. He offers us beautiful things to remember that we can live this way. Now, Paul also says there are false prophets. There are deceitful workers masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, because Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light, but he's not. It's not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Yes, there are people trying to do bad things, but there are many, many people trying to do good things, even with their challenges. And so chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about his thorn, his pain in the side. Paul says this, he talks about a vision, and he says this, I must go on boasting, although there's nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from God himself. And then he says, I know a man in Christ, and I think he's talking about himself. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, listen to this, was caught up into the third heaven. That's where God is. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. And I know that this man, I think it's himself, whether in part, apart from the body, I don't know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things. Things that no one is permitted to tell. And this is when we say, oh, come on. What do you mean not? I want to know. Tell me. And I think this is when Jesus smiles and goes, you'll get it someday. I'll show you someday. I'll tell you someday. Caught up in the Lord. He said, I should never boast, but I'm going to boast about that. It's got nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with the Lord. God knows. I was caught up in paradise. I heard inexpressible things. Things that no one is permitted to tell. But I'll talk about my weakness. If I can't talk about that, I'll talk about my weakness and how God helps me, soothes me, encourages me. We talk about love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. All of those things are available for us every day. Just have to remember. And so Paul talks about this. And then he concludes with these words. And I'll conclude as well. He says this. And I think it's important to do. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Am I? Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Have you ever thought of that? He is in us. Unless, of course, you don't know. He says, if you fail the test, don't fail that test. Do you not know that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. The test is you don't believe. We believe. He is in us. Living in us. So after writing all of these things, and I don't know how long it took for Paul to write this, he finishes up with final greetings. And it's beautiful. He says this to us. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. I probably didn't read that correctly because at the end of that word rejoice, there is an exclamation point. Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Graduation is going to be happening pretty soon. Take off that cap, throw it in the air, rejoice. I'm finished with this. Now I'm moving on to something else. Brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Get back to that faith. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. And if God says that my love and peace will be with you, then God's love and peace is with us. If he says it, it is. And then he says, greet one another with a holy kiss, one cheek on the other cheek. All of God's people send their greetings. And how does he finish? May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, may the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks for watching or listening. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. Scripture quotations marked NIV, taken from the Holy Bible, New International Version, NIV. Copyright 2011 by Biblica, Inc. Used by permission, all rights reserved worldwide. You can learn more about the congregation on our Facebook page or at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.